Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Narada's Teachings to Vasudeva, Text 46. Yuvayo kalo dampakyor.
Yuvayo kalo dampakyor.
Yashasa puritam jagat. Putratam agamadyadvam. Bhagavanishvaro
Hari.
Yuvayo. Of the two of you. Kalu. Indeed.
Dampatyo.
Of the husband and wife. Yashasa. By the glories. Puritam. Has become full. Jagat. The earth. Putratam, the state of being the sun. Agamat, assumed. Yat, because. Vam, your. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Ishvara, the Lord, the Supreme Lord. Hari,
Hari.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Indeed, the whole world has become filled with the glories of you and your good wife, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, has taken the position of your son. Please repeat. Indeed, the whole world has become filled with the glories of you and your good wife. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, has taken the position of your son. So what did I just read? What's your name? What's that? Jitendriya. What did I just read, Jitendriya? What did it say? The purport? We haven't got up to the purport yet. Did it say on the board? Yeah. You can always look at the board there. So we'll read the purport here. Purport. In this verse, Narada Muni hints at the glories of Vasudeva and Devaki, the parents of Krishna Balaram, by the word Yashasha Puritam Jagat. The whole world is now filled with your glories. In other words, although Vasudeva inquired from Narada about spiritual advancement, Narada here states, you are completely glorious due to your extraordinary devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 47. Now you're going to have to please listen attentively, because we're going to ask you what I just read. We're warning you in advance. Text 47. Darshana linga nalapai shayana sana bhojanai atmavam pavita krishne putrasneham pakurvataha. So what does Shayana mean? Shayana? We've heard this word before, Shayana. Garbhadakshai Vishnu? What's that? Garbhadakshayana Vishnu. What does Garbhadakshayana Vishnu mean?
Lying down.
Yes, lying down, taking rest. Vihara, as Arjuna said, Krishnetiya, Krishneti yat vihara shayana sabhojneshu ekava yat chuti taksamatvam tatsamayatvamaham aprameyam. Thinking of you as I was lying down or resting or eating, I have addressed you as Krishna, O my friend, whether I've done this out of madness or out of love. Please forgive all the offenses that I've committed to you. Shayana sabhojneshu vihara shayana bhojneshu. So Shayana, Garbhadaka Shayana, Vishnu, Karanadakshayana Vishnu, Shiradakshayana Vishnu, they're all lying down in different places. And we're also lying down. We're lying down here, kind of lying down in the temple. Taking rest. So when you take rest today, you know you're doing Shayana. So translation, my dear Vasudev, you and your good wife Devaki have manifested great transcendental love for Krishna, accepting him as your son. Indeed, you are always seeing the Lord, embracing him, speaking with him, resting with him, sitting together with him, and taking your meals with him. By such affectionate and intimate association with the Lord, undoubtedly, both of you have completely purified your hearts. In other words, you are already perfect. So why are Devaki and Vasudev perfect? Anyone knows? What's that? What else? That's true. What's that?
They're always associating with Krishna.
Yes, but even more important than that. Yes.
That's
pure devotees, that's getting close. What's that? Yes, they had unalloyed love for Krishna. That's the perfection. And therefore they're always seeing the Lord, embracing him with him, speaking with him, resting with him, sitting together with him, taking your meals with him, and therefore they had affection and intimate association with him. So anyone who comes to such association with Krishna, they'll become completely perfect. Purport. The words Atma Vam Pavita in this verse are very significant. Ordinary conditioned souls are required to purify their existence by practicing regular principles of bhakti yoga and learning how to offer all their activities in the devotional service of the Lord. Such a regulative, gradual process, however, cannot be applied to those exalted souls who are personally attending the Lord as his parents, boyfriends, girlfriends, advisors, sons, etc. Due to Vasudeva and Devaki's intense love for Krishna as their son, they had already achieved the highest professional stage of life. Although in the previous verse, Sri Narada Muni informed Vasudeva that he and his wife had become glorious by Krishna's taking birth as their son, Vasudeva might have argued that other personal associates of the Lord, such as Jai and Vijay, had fallen down due to offending the Brahmana class. Therefore, in the present verse, Narada has used the word pavita. You are completely purified, and therefore you are completely free from the slightest trace of discrepancy in your devotional service due to your intense love for Krishna. It is understood from the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Sri Vasudeva, Krishna's pastime father, is actually an eternally liberated Nityasiddha associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva has a spiritual body just as Krishna does, and he is always merged in the overwhelming ecstatic desire to serve Krishna, his beautiful son. However, Narada could understand that due to extreme humility, Vasudeva considered himself an ordinary human being and was feeling very anxious to receive transcendental instructions on the devotional service of the Lord. accepting the ecstatic humility of Vasudeva and to relieve his anxiety, Sri Narada Muni instructed him in the science of Bhakti Yoga as one might instruct an ordinary human being. However, at that same time, Narada has revealed that actually Sri Vasudeva and Devaki are already completely glorious by their unprecedented fortune of having Krishna and Balaram as their sons. Therefore, Narada is telling Vasudeva, "My dear Vasudeva, do not in any way be discouraged or doubtful about your position. Undoubtedly, you are immediately going back home, back to Godhead, and actually you and your good wife are the most fortunate persons. In conclusion, everyone should become fortunate by fully developing his dormant love for Krishna. Many terrible demons who oppose Krishna eventually achieve the happy state of life by their association with Krishna. Therefore, there is no doubt about the supreme bliss achieved by the loving devotees of the Lord, who day and night can only think of pleasing Krishna." Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarane. I'm happy to be back here in Melbourne. Today is the auspicious appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya, and this is an auspicious day to pray for his mercy. Of course, first of all, we have to believe that he exists, just like we have to believe that Lord Krishna exists, plus a number of other personalities like Srimati Radharani, Lord Nityananda, etc. Of course, fortunately, they're present before us in the deity form, but then we have to believe that the deities are actually alive and conscious personalities. Unfortunately, present we're in the material world, in material bodies. And the unfortunate thing about having a material body is that the material body is made in such a way as to help us believe that actually Krishna doesn't exist. That's specifically why we get a material body, as a reward for our desire to not believe in Krishna. And not only not to believe in Krishna, but not to engage in his service. So of course, as aspiring devotees, we're trying to utilize this body as much as we can, as much as we're willing to, in Krishna's service, and the hope is that gradually we'll become aware of Krishna's existence. And as we become aware of Krishna's existence, then our prayers will actually be sincere, will become progressively more sincere, that we want to engage in their loving service. Now we're engaged in loving service, as I've explained before. We're engaged in loving service to our material bodies. And sometimes, on the basis of the Bali concept of life, we expand it to our family, to our society, to our nation, and sometimes even to all living entities, at least all human beings usually people expand it to. But in any case, it's all based upon the Bali concept of life. Materna Krishne Paratakshatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratanam Adanta Gopir Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj says that Materna Krishne, people, they're not inclined to rely upon Krishna. Materna Krishne Paratakshatova. And therefore, although they're faced with so many difficulties, because nowadays it's hard for people to understand what difficulty means. They think if the price of gasoline goes down, their difficulties are diminishing. They don't realize what their real difficulties are. The fact that we're growing older every day. We wake up and we're one day older, which means we're one day closer to death. And along with getting closer to death, we're getting closer to old age, which means more disease, and the prospects of taking another birth. In other words, anyone who thinks that their future is bright, who's not a devotee, is at least they're all lined up equally to come out as pool number one in the contest. Therefore, the Bhagavatam begins with the first canto, and the Bhagavad Gita begins with, we're not this body. That has a lot of implications. If we look at ourselves objectively, look at our activities in this present material body, and we're honest with ourselves, we'll find out we have a lot of attachment to this body. Now, most people are not embarrassed by that. They're proud of it. They take pictures of themselves all the time. They want to be in pictures, what they think is themselves. Could you imagine a person in jail paying photographers to come and take pictures of his jail cell and then sending it on internet to all his friends and relatives? Look at my jail cell. Isn't it nice? Would you like to see it with the curtains off? So, in that way, we're thinking, as I've said before, we wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we ask the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And of course the mirror answers, my dear fortunate person, by your pious activities after many lifetimes, you're getting darshan with the absolute truth in front of you. And if you pray sincerely, then the effulgence in the mirror will go away and you'll be able to see the absolute truth fully. And as we surrender to the absolute truth in front of us, then we vow to render unalloyed, uninterrupted service to the deity in the mirror. We perform our abhishek in the morning by taking a bath or a shower. Then we clothe the deity, we dress the deity, we decorate the deity, we put perfume on the deity, we feed the deity, and then we go out into the world to spread the glories all over of the deity all over the world, and we call that Sankirtan. So this body is our object of love and affection. And unfortunately the body is made in such a way is that the more we're attached to service to the body and the mind, the more we forget Krishna. The disadvantage of forgetting Krishna is if we don't believe in Krishna, if we don't have any faith in Krishna, if we don't know about Krishna, then we have to take one body after another. Evamaya karma prasam pranyukte avidyatman prasidiv yavade Pritirniya nava yavan mai vasudeve namuchate deha yogena tadva. So, Maharaja Shabde says, evam prasam karma prasam pranyukte. As long as we're not developing love for Vasudeva, as long as we're not engaged in the service, evam prasam karma prasam pranyukte avidyatman yupadiya mane, then we're bound up by this avidya and this upadi, this idea of being a material body. As I said, practically everyone in this world, it doesn't matter to them. They think they can't conceive of having any other identity other than this body, this present body. And therefore, when they think this present body disappears, then they disappear. Isn't that right? Then that's it. And even if they exist after the body, they exist as some kind of spirit, just hovering in the air with no identity. They've lost the most essential thing, their false ego, their false identity with this body, which they love. They can't conceive there can be anything better than their present body. Even a worm in stool is thinking the same way. I've reached the perfection of life. I finally got a place, a house, which is warm the whole year round. The food is free. And there's plenty of it. And it's always increasing. And it has different varieties of flavors all the time. I have reached the perfection. No work, no education, no school. Just eat and sleep whenever I want. And there's beautiful she-worms in the same stool I'm in. So my life is perfect. And no one comes near us. So I don't even have to defend. Who can ask for a better existence? So the worm in the stool has a false ego. We have a false ego. Brahma has a false ego. And we can't conceive there can be an existence. Or what kind of existence could there be outside of our present body? We think even there is existence, it's not going to be very interesting. Because I lost the most precious thing, my present material identity. Never mind, at every moment we're losing our precious material identity. Our material identity when we were 5 years old certainly is not the same material identity we have now. At least I hope not. That when we were 5 years old, we had a different personality. We had a different body. We had a different mentality. We had a different conception of life. Therefore, we've lost it all. It's disappeared. Don't cry. And this present body, which we hold so dear, our present situation, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, whether we're healthy or sick, whether we're intelligent or foolish, whatever it may be, it's going to disappear. And we're going to get another personality, another identity, another body, whether it's sick or healthier, whether it's more intelligent or less intelligent, we get another one. It's all changing, jagat. But we ourselves, who we actually are, that never changes. So here we find Vasudev and Devaki. We may read Srimad Bhagavatam or a Krishna book, whatever, and we think, oh, these are just, you know, Vasudev, he was a Kshatriya, and Devaki, she was an unfortunate lady. They wound up, due to their past activities, in jail. Now, I never went to jail, so I'm much more pious than they were. Not only that, they had to have all their kids in jail. Imagine how inconvenient that was. And all their kids got smashed. As soon as they were born, their heads got cracked open, except for one of them, who somehow or another he smuggled out. So poor Devaki, poor Vasudev. But we have to understand the science of devotional service and understand where are we and where are they. If we're finished or we're in the process of anartha nivritti, trying to purify our anarthas. And what's the primary anartha? We think we're this body. We think, why should I pray to Krishna? I already got everything I want. I have a place to sleep. There's something to eat. And who knows what else I'm going to get in the future. Therefore, all my bases are more or less covered because I'm in Oz. And I'm more or less like the Wizard of Oz. And maybe one day Dorothy will come and seek refuge in me. Therefore, what more could I want? There are a few scarecrows here, and we got a few tin men. Everything's cool in Oz. And we even got a lion, although he's a coward. So everything's in Oz. So the point is, we don't realize how difficult the situation we're in and how difficult our future is if we don't develop some real humility. How tiny we actually are and how much we're being controlled by the illusory energy. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, or Prabhupada points out in the beginning of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that I'm so fallen, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is praying, that I actually think I'm elevated. That we're always trying to figure out what my assets are. We go to the astrologer or the palm reader, trying to figure out what my assets are to make sure I still have a few left. Little do we know, the more we become proud, the more we think we're in a good situation, then less likely it is we're going to be able to pray to Krishna with feeling. The less likely it's going to be we're going to be able to understand that actually Krishna, how great Krishna is, and how insignificant we are in comparison. Therefore, to develop the service attitude takes a lot of understanding, a lot of practice. To get out of this bodily concept of life, to come to the platform of Nishta, where one is liberated from false ego, that's only, compared to Ruchi, a little fragment of the feelings of devotional service. And when one is in Ruchi, one's spiritual senses are purified and one can flavor or taste the presence of Krishna in every sphere of life. And you multiply that millions of times, you come to the platform of Asakti, where the mind is always attached to Krishna, relishing transcendental pleasure at every moment. And you multiply that millions of times, it comes to the platform of Bhava. And Bhava is one atom in the ocean of prema. So Devaki and Vasudev are swimming in the ocean of prema, and we may mistake their activities, their personalities, for something like ours. Or something like someone that we know, some king in the material world, some historical personality, but they're in a completely different realm of existence, far beyond what we can even begin to imagine or conceive of. Therefore, generally we come to the 10th canto after a lot of experience in devotional service. Prabhupada once said that a pure devotee is an experienced devotee. After a lifetime of experience, krita punya punja, then we become qualified to understand a little bit about the exalted position of these personalities that are in the 10th canto. Or else, because we can read them systematically, krama means step by step, we can go from one step to the next and read systematically through the Bhagavatam, but we should have some reverence to these personalities and understand how great they are and how much we're, if we can get their mercy, how much we'll be benefited. Just like Advaitacharya, today's his appearance day, and therefore we're praying Adwaita Kara Sitapati Adwaita Goshai. We should remember Advaitacharya, he was sitting by the bank of the Ganges with Tulsi leaves and Ganges water and praying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and manifest his pastimes on this planet. Because even Advaitacharya, Mahavishnu, he felt himself incapable of liberating the conditioned souls in the age of Kali Yuga. How much our false egos are strong in this age that even God himself has the difficulty figuring out what to do. Therefore he thought the only hope was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. If they came, perhaps there is some hope for people. Because as soon as people hear the word God, they become disgusted. They don't, or they think God is simply some big order supplier in the sky, and that whatever they demand, he better supply immediately, or else they'll just forget about it. They'll go to the bank and pray for the same thing. What do they need God for when they can get a loan? So Advaitacharya, He understood that in this age, people only surrender to absolute beauty and mercy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming with absolute mercy, simply telling us to chant Hare Krishna. And the only thing we do is have to do it. And then gradually our faith in Krishna will develop. And even if we learn the science of chanting with a proper attitude, proper attitude is what we lack in Kali Yuga, especially. In Kali Yuga, the demoniac mentality, we're trained up systematically in that mentality. So much is mine today, and I'll get more in the future. So much wealth do I have, and I'll get more and more in the future. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect. Or actually, He is my enemy, and I have killed Him. And my other enemies will also be killed. So maybe we don't take a knife and kill our enemies. We criticize them. We kill their reputation. We discourage them. We, in so many different ways, we kill people's personality, their reputation. And even nowadays, of course, people have become so demoniac, they kill their own children. What to speak of wiping out whole countries. So much is mine today, and I'll gain more and more in the future. He is my enemy, and I have killed him somehow or another, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful, and I am happy. I am surrounded by so many rich and aristocratic relatives. So many friends are opulent, just like I am, by my mercy. I shall perform some sacrifice. I'll give some charity. In this way they'll elevate me to the heavenly planets, and there I'll kiss the Apsaras. In this way the demoniac is bewildered by ignorance. We can read the 16th chapter and we can get a personality analysis of the typical person in Kali Yuga. And therefore such a person, Janmaishvara Shuta Shivira Edamanak Madakuman Naivahatyavudatun Vai Twam Akinchana Gochara. Such a person who's thinking, I have such a nice birth. I'm not in Iraq or Ghana or wherever, Biafra, wherever it may be. I'm in Oz. Therefore, everything's alright. And Aishvarya, everything goes wrong, the government sends me a check anyhow. Big Daddy is there for me. Shuddha, and I have so much knowledge. I know who's the best cricket player in the world. What more can you ask for? That's perfect knowledge. The most important things I know. And as far as personal beauty, that even when I look in the mirror, I can't believe how wonderful I am. And I get more wonderful every time I look in the mirror. What to speak of everyone else? The fools, they deride at my descending in this human-like form. They don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all the big. Therefore, this mentality makes it very difficult for us to chant with feeling the holy name. And because we don't chant with feeling, therefore we're not even interested when we chant, what to speak of anyone else. If we can't chant with feeling, actual sincere feeling to the Supreme Lord, then when we hear our own japa, we get bored. What am I doing this for? I'm just wasting my time chanting to this imaginary person, Krishna. I could be doing something important, like watching a movie. And what to speak of anyone else chanting? Therefore we can't hear anyone else. We hardly listen to ourselves when we're chanting. What to speak of the philosophy? We think, what's the value of this philosophy? So complicated. All they're doing is always criticizing me. The speaker is always criticizing me. He doesn't appreciate me. He doesn't understand me. He doesn't know who I am. He probably doesn't even know who he is. So why is he giving all this philosophy, trying to depress everyone? Why doesn't he just glorify everyone? My dear devotees, you're all self-effulgent. We know you're all on the Mahabhava platform. I have nothing really to tell you. Let me just tell you some pastimes so that all the separation, ecstatic separation that you're feeling can be pacified. Therefore, generally in every appearance and disappearance day, we want to hear all just pastimes. Every day we just want to hear pastimes. We want to be sometimes, even in class, you know, just like a baby. Lo, rockabye baby. And just tell some nice pastimes about Krishna. So we don't have to think about what my present situation is. I can imagine I'm a great personality, just relishing the pastimes of Krishna. And if someone says, my dear devotees, we're all fool number one. We've come to this material world, fortunately by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fortunately by the mercy of the disciples' succession, we have some opportunity to get out of our present miserable condition of identifying with this body and being puffed up and proud over so many insignificant so-called opulences that we think we have that are just illusions, in the sense that they don't belong to us, they're simply Krishna's illusions. And if we simply agree to surrender to Krishna and become his instrument, then we'll no longer identify with these material bodies and we'll let Krishna act as a perfect instrument, utilize the body perfectly and do his mission, which is to deliver ourselves and other conditioned souls from this world, from these misconceptions. So unless you hear this philosophy that everything else is more or less just a nice, it's actually auspicious to hear Krishna's pastimes. It's very nice, but we won't be able to understand and appreciate them perfectly and get the full benefit from them. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. What's that? Proper attitude? Is that what you're asking, what the proper attitude is? Yeah, with the proper attitude. Yeah, we have to chant. Prabhupada gives us many indications of the proper attitude. One of them is just like a child lovingly calling out for his mother. So a child lovingly calls out for his mother because the child feels out of love that it needs its mother. So we should call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna so that we can engage in their loving service. So we should call out to Krishna lovingly and Srimati Radharani. And how do you know if we're calling out lovingly? What will be the result? How will we know if we're chanting properly? Does anyone know? No one knows? Yes. No, that won't be very helpful. No. What's that? No, we're talking about the first thing. Oh, listening also, that's better. Tears falling out, I mean, it's just like saying, how do you know when you're 5 years old that you've reached we have to take it step by step. Obviously, if we're in ecstasy and tears are falling from our eyes, that's an advanced stage. But we're not going to come from, say, bhajana kriya suddenly up to prema. Sometimes it happens, but it's not our common everyday 2 hours of japa. That we have to see how we're making steady progress. Sometimes Krishna will give us some ecstasy to encourage us. But the idea is that life is not made of simply chance ecstasies here and there, that Krishna is just once in a while giving us ecstasy, and that's what he has to offer. No, he's trying to encourage us so we can come to a higher platform. So we have to know how to get to the higher platform so that one day we'll always be in ecstasy. Not just once in a while we hit it right. Like once in a while you play the slot machines in Las Vegas you keep on putting your quarters, and after 2 years of doing it, once in a while you hit a jackpot. No, we have to know which, you know, exactly what to do, so that we develop a proper attitude, the proper consciousness, gradually we do it. Then one day when we chant Hare Krishna, we'll always be in ecstasy. We'll always be experiencing Krishna consciousness. But what's the first thing that we should experience when we're chanting? One of them is that we should hear the holy name. It should be the holy name. Not snick snick, ram ram, day 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 day, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. That will not get us anywhere. So the first thing is to learn about the name. Now we're looking around, we're due to our conditioned existence, we're labeling everything with names. Did you ever notice that? That everything we look at, we label with a name? Man, woman, at least that. Or flora and paintings, whatever. We're not labeling everything. But how many of us, when we look at something, remember Krishna, which is the primary name? Even if we don't remember Krishna's form, at least we should remember how things are related to Krishna. And the question is, why don't we remember how things are related to Krishna? Does anyone know? When we look at things, why we forget things are related to Krishna? What's that? Yes, but what is the primary ignorance? What is the primary ignorance that we have? Yeah.
We have to be eternal servants of Krishna.
Yes, but more down to earth. Yes. And we think that we're the lords of this. We could be the lord of the material nature. We're already lord of something. We're the lord of the material body. This is my body. And then we look around and we try and figure out what else can serve my body here. What else can I get here in the material world so that I can enjoy more? Isn't that right? And what do I have to protect myself against so that I don't enjoy less? So we look around, we judge everything automatically, spontaneously. We're on the spontaneous platform of ignorance. Spontaneously we look around and we judge everything, whether it's good for my sense gratification or bad, whether I'm going to become, I should be the lord of this object or I should try to get away from it. And the whole idea is whether it's going to make me it's good for my sense gratification or bad. Therefore, we automatically forget Krishna. As soon as Krishna is in the picture, then that stops. At least there's less. And because Krishna is not in the picture, we label things as if people have an independent existence outside of Krishna. As if Krishna is not in anyone's heart, including my heart. As if it's not Krishna's energy and he's not controlling it. As if something's less than perfect that's going on, that I have to make an effort to correct, to make me feel better, or make my friends feel better, or make my enemies feel worse, however you want to look at it. So the first thing is the holy name, and that takes a philosophical attitude in life. That's philosophy, how to actually understand names properly, so that ultimately we add Krishna to everything. And we give up the tendency to try to see how objects in the world, they're not objects of sense gratification, they're objects of service. Then, when we give up that tendency for sense gratification, then when we chant Hare Krishna, then we'll remember what Krishna looks like. Because the name represents something, it's simply not some vibration. Like the letters of the alphabet. It actually means something. It means Krishna. But the difference between Krishna and, say, another sound vibration is that Krishna is personally present when we remember him. He's non-different from his name, his actual name, and he's non-different from his form. So when we come to the platform of chanting without material desires, calling out to Krishna, then the result is we'll remember what Krishna looks like. Krishna looks like Radhabalava, for instance. That is Krishna. Or we can remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Jagannath. These are all Krishna. We remember Krishna in some form. Or some description in the Bhagavatam. Something. Then, as we progress in chanting better and better, and progressively are able to remember Krishna's form more consistently, then we'll feel that he's present. Our spiritual senses will become purified, and we'll feel his presence every time we chant his name. And his presence is that of the nature of pleasure, and also his associates. And therefore, at the stage of ruchi, taste, devotional service becomes spontaneous, because it becomes pleasurable to execute, because one is always feeling Krishna's presence. And as that intensifies, one can't live without the happiness of experiencing Krishna's presence and his associates, and then one is always remembering what they're doing, their different pastimes. And then that matures, where one's actual own service to Krishna is awakened, and one desires to perform that service, and one is able to do it on the spiritual platform, and then as one gets trained up, one comes to the platform of pure Krishna prema. Trained up in ecstasy. Because we have to be, just as we're trained up to do things in the material world, to become good at it, people work hard to get good at tennis. I think they just had the Australian Open here. People work hard to become expert at that. So we have to become expert at prema also. It takes practice. You have to learn from people who are expert at prema, namely the Nityasiddha devotees. So, when we're chanting, we have to see where we're at chanting. We don't always start out in ecstasy. If we do, then you can give the class and I'll... But we start out somewhere when we're chanting japa, and we have to work from there. Namely, to chant more clearly, call out to Krishna, even when we don't have so much faith in Krishna, but at least we have to put our doubts aside when we're chanting and see if it works. If we actually see, call out lovingly to Krishna and see if he reciprocates. See if there is a Krishna. And when Krishna reciprocates, then our doubts go away. Otherwise, if we don't learn how to chant in such a way as to invoke Krishna's reciprocation, then we'll simply be living in doubt whether there is a Krishna or not all the time. And therefore we don't make any progress in devotional service. Asam shayam samagramam yatagyasasi tatshinu. Krishna says, if you actually hear and practice yoga according to how he's explained it, then the result is that we'll become attached to him and all our doubts will go away. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes.
I would
want to
tell something more about
Advaita Acharya. Well, one interesting thing about Prabhupada when he gave classes, even on the appearance days, did anyone ever, they made a book out of Prabhupada's lectures on appearance days. Did you ever see that book? The archives made it. Prabhupada, you can look up on the folio if you have folio. And out of the, I guess they have 1,500 lectures, Prabhupada may have given maybe 20 lectures on all the different acharyas and incarnations. And if you look at the lectures, hardly he spoke about it. Only on Govardhan Pooja one time he devoted the whole lecture to Govardhan Pooja. That was in 1966, I think, or 68. Prabhupada gave a whole lecture on Govardhan Pooja. Other than that, he just briefly mentioned the acharyas. Why is that? Because whatever the speaker of the Bhagavatam is speaking in line from Prabhupada, he's actually glorifying all the previous acharyas. This is a glorification, this is their message. This is what they came to deliver. So it's not that when we speak the philosophy, we're somehow or another avoiding Advaita Acharya. But this is his glories. This is what he came to deliver, this philosophy. So to tell the pastimes, then somehow or another we think that the pastimes of these great personalities is something different from the basic philosophy. Advaita Acharya, when he was speaking, he spoke from the Bhagavad Gita. Every day he called the Vaishnavas together, and they all spoke Bhagavad Gita. And even Vishwarupa would come, And sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to get Vishwaroop when his mother told him. Mother Sachi and Jagannath Misra told him to get Vishwaroop, but he was hearing the Bhagavad Gita. He wasn't hearing Krishna Leela. And he's God, speaking to God. And they're talking about Bhagavad Gita. So these things are not different from these great personalities. We can imagine if we went to hear Advaitacharya and we come there and he's speaking Bhagavad Gita and we're thinking, why doesn't he speak Rasa Leela? We want to hear something. He's God. Why doesn't he tell us something more advanced? He knows all about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Why doesn't he just tell us about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? Why is he speaking Bhagavad Gita to the devotees? Why? Because that's the most appropriate thing for us to hear. To hear, first of all, the name. To hear the glories of the name. That's what he came to deliver. Then we can hear the glories of his form when we're more advanced. Then the glories of his associating with him and his associates. Then the glories of his pastimes. Then the glories of pure devotional service. But if we jump the name and we try to go to the form and qualities and pastimes, especially we go from the name to the pastimes, then we won't know what's going on in the pastimes. We'll just imagine what's going on in the pastimes according to our present mentality. Therefore, to tell Advaitacharya's pastimes, this is Advaitacharya's pastime. This is the Panchatattva's pastime, delivering the conditioned souls. He didn't come in order to give us some interesting stories to tell, although there are many interesting stories to tell. But that's not why primarily he came. He came to deliver the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita to us so we can advance to Srimad Bhagavatam and then to Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we honor these days because he does exist. And Narottam Das Thakur has summarized what the essential part of the philosophy is in his prayer. That we should pray to Advaitacharya that you're so kind that if you give us our mercy, if you give us your mercy, then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda will give us their mercy too. If we don't believe in Lord Chaitanya, we don't believe in Lord Nityananda, we can't feelingly ask for their mercy, that at least we can try and ask for Advaitacharya's mercy. And if we can't do that, then we should ask for the Six Goswami's mercy. And if we can't do that, then we should ask for the previous Acharya's mercy. And if we can't do that, at least we should ask the Prabhupada's mercy and his followers, his sincere followers. Then we can get their mercy of the whole Panchatattva, the whole disciple succession. Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Someone we have to ask for mercy, sincerely. Anything else? Okay. Happy Advaitacharya's appearance day. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.